Okay, I trust that you have your notes with you. Today we're going to have a bit more notes because of the content of this morning lesson. We're going to go look into the rapture. I think it's not unfamiliar for some of us. I think we have perhaps even studied this some time ago for those FBI students. This is also covered quite extensively. But nevertheless, God's Word, no matter how many times you go through, it's always refreshing, and there's always new insight, and God will always, you know, can use it to bless our hearts. So hopefully that we can cover it. I'm thinking whether can we cover it by just one session or not. But we'll try. Okay? So bear with me if I have to go through quite quickly. Anyway, we will have the note, and hopefully the note will be a good guide. The Bible verses, some of them, especially for those who contain multiple verses, more than three or four, I just put the reference so that we can turn to the Bible together. If not, I cannot squeeze it into one paper. But hopefully, we will be able to look through all the scripture pertaining to this subject on rapture. Shall we look to the Lord and commit this time to the Lord and just ask for the Lord's blessing? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for this morning, the matter of the rapture. Lord, we thank you that this is a blessed promise that we look forward to. We know, Lord, you are going to come and receive us anytime. We just need to be expecting it and be ready, and just, Lord, our hearts be prepared so that we will meet with you, be ready, Lord, anytime. Father, we just pray that give us the wisdom, the Holy Spirit to illuminate us and see this truth. And then, Lord, the truth will encourage us, comfort us, and even strengthen our faith. And Father, just pray for each and every one of us that you help us to settle down and quieten our hearts, and the Holy Spirit is working and moving, and that, Lord, we come before you, we ask for your cleansing, wash us with thy precious blood, and Lord, that the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and your blessing can flow freely in and through us. Just thank you for this time, bless this time, and ask that at the end of the day, Lord, that we will be thankful and grateful for your blessed word, Lord. We all this to you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I was thinking about this in the rapture. We will definitely have to deal with this issue of the Great Tribulation. There are, of course, people who believe in the literal tribulation, but regards to the timing of the rapture, still, though the Bible can be quite plain and obvious, but still some hold different position of when the rapture will happen. Is it before the Great Tribulation, or in the middle of the Great Tribulation, or is it after the Great Tribulation? When we think about tribulation, many of us cannot really, especially when we talk about the Great Tribulation, really experientially and able to comprehend, you know, how is it like to go through that. But I think the timing was, my wife and I, we recently made a trip to Indonesia to visit my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. We really had, thank God, for a very wonderful time with them, and able to, by God's grace, share the gospel. And only that, the driver also. But you know, when we were there, it's tribulation for the people there. Day in, day out, they toil. As we go through travel, we travel a lot on buses and hours and along the road, along, as we pass by town after town, mountains and whatever it is, the people there toil and they really suffer. Just for what? For making a living. And, you know, to them, it's like a tribulation. And it's great. But here we are in Singapore, all the comfort, all the ease and convenience and everything. And, you know, I was thinking of that. Imagine I've been in there and then day in, day out, toy and toy and toy, and don't know when the next meal is going to come. And it's something that you will not forget. Everywhere you go, there's beggar, there's people coming for, you know, for you to buy things or engage in their services. Music, play music and all that. We eat also got music. We go to the bus also got live music. You know, they come and they play along, stop on the road. You'll find people come with their wear and everything, knock on your car door and want to ask you to buy, and then beggars here, beggars there, and then you walk. You see people walk and walk and walk. Tribulation. We may not understand her, but you know, thank God, in the Bible, no matter what we go through, and even when we think about the great tribulation, the rapture is a hope. It's an encouragement. It's something that we thank God we don't have to go through the great tribulation, because before that we would have been caught up and the Lord would have received us in heaven, in the sky. Alright, so let's go through just a matter of introduction. Shall we turn to the Bible, to 1 Thessalonians? We're going to look at chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. We'll stand and read this part of the scripture verse. And then we'll see what the Lord say about the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. I will read 13 first and then responsively 14 and 15. And 18 we'll read together. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Okay? First Thessalonians chapter 5, did I say something? Oh, sorry, I look at this. Okay, look at the wrong. 4. My apology, 4. 4, 13 to 18. Okay, verse 14. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord together. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. Please be seated. The word rapture, like the word Trinity, though it's not mentioned in the Bible, it's still a teaching that is clearly been taught, especially in what we have just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Of course, there are many other verses that describe this matter of the catching away of the saint. The term caught up in chapter 4, verse 17 is also translated elsewhere. For example, in John chapter 10, verse 28, the Bible says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand," translated as pluck in John 10:28. It is also used to describe the Spirit of God snatching away. In the book of Acts chapter 8:39, after Philip, you know, witnessed to the eunuch, God actually took him away. You know, there is this matter of being translated. Okay. Acts 8:39, "And they will come out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." So this is something that that Christ will also do to the believer, the church. All right, when it happened in the rapture, it will be in the same manner. There is this in the Old Testament prophecy in the book of Daniel, where we have the Daniel 17 week. Which is very interesting, the way Daniel prophesies about the 70. It's 77, which 1 week 1 week is 7 years, and you are correct. But as you look at the prophecy in Daniel chapter 2, you'll find that the prophecy fulfilled so beautifully. And the last 7 weeks, which is the 7 years, are referring to the Great Tribulation, which was prophesied by Daniel. And from there, we get a lot of the prophecy regarding the 7 years Great Tribulation. All right. At the rapture, we'll find two things that will happen as mentioned in this verses. The first is that those dead in Christ will be resurrected first. Verses 14 to 16. All right, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even to them which are asleep, also which are asleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. All right. And then, of course, verse 16 tells us the sequence of the rapture. Who will be raptured first? The dead in Christ, followed by those who are living. And then the rapture will happen one after the other. And then it also tells us that the second sequence will be the living saint will be translated and caught up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul gives us a description of this translation. If you look at verses 52 to 53, Paul tells us, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, what? Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So there is that picture of how the rapture would. Sometimes we know when we think of rapture, how it's going to. Exactly how is it like? The Bible does give us some description. And anyway, let me go through that after. We'll go through this part of how the body from incorruptible to incorruption. Okay, no, from corruptible to incorruption and from mortal to immortality. Okay, and according to 1 Thessalonians, we find that Christ, dead in Christ, are with in heaven. They are not sleeping in the grave as some thought. The rapture, if you look at it, as far as Paul is concerned, is the believer's hope, all right? It is what we are looking forward to. We are not looking for the Antichrist or the Great Tribulation, but we are looking for the rapture. And when we think about the rapture, the Bible tells us nobody knows. Only the Father knows. So it can happen anytime. Anytime the rapture. So it does help us to have that hope. Especially, you know, if you are imagine that our Indonesian, brethren who are toiling and suffering and all those, maybe when they look at the rapture, they say, anytime the rapture come, it's okay, I just toy and rapture come, I will. All this won't be matter anymore. You know, I will be up in heaven to be with God. So it is a hope for believer. It is also certain. All right? 1 Thessalonians 5:14 tells us that. Let me read to you at 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Okay? So, Paul is in the context telling the Christian there that they are to have this disposition, all right, and comfort the feeble and support the weak, be patient towards all men, even as you are going through the suffering. The rapture is a comfort also. Right? Why is it a comfort? Because it happens before the Great Tribulation. If it happened during or after the Great Tribulation, there's nothing to be comforted about. We still have to, you know, suffer. Just go through a little bit. The rapture is such that the dead in Christ, they're already with Christ in heaven. What happened is that they will receive a glorified body. that is described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. And what happened is this will merge in the sense and form a glorified body. You know? Because as the dead in Christ, when they die at the moment, straight away they will be, Paul said to be present, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So they are with the Lord now. Alright, for all that have gone before us. And during the rapture, their body is in the grave. So what happened is, it will be sort of translated. That means, come together, the body and whatever they're in heaven, come together and there will be a new glorified body. For those that are alive in Christ, same thing, our body will straight away become a glorified body and be raptured and then be with heaven with Christ, together with the saint before that. All will be have the saving, same. The glorified body, as you can think, imagine, is our Lord Jesus Christ, when he, after his resurrection, he came back, he could go through wall, he could, you know, not limited by time and space. So we would have that kind of body. You know? That's why we don't need to take a supersonic jet or anything. We can travel, zoom here, zoom there, no problem. But just to give you an idea how the rapture in this matter, the dead in Christ and those that are, which are alive, how they will be raptured. All right, just a kind of pictorial thing for us. Now, this morning we want to look at the evidence, the biblical evidence of this pre-tribulational rapture. That means we believe the Bible taught the rapture will happen before the Great Tribulation. And what we're going to look at now is all those things that support this position, because there are three general positions held by those people who believe in the literal rapture of the church age. The first position are what we call the pre-tribulation, that is our position, which we believe that is taught in the Bible. Then you have the mid-tribulation, also called the pre-wrath rapture. All right, which says that the church age saints will go through the first half of Daniel 70 week, and then after that they will be raptured. Then the third position is a post-tribulational, which says that the church age saints will go through the entire tribulation period. All right, we're going to look at it because clearly the Bible talk about this matter of we will be saved from the wrath of God. Right, from the look at it, this the following reason will convince us of this pre-tribulational rapture. Okay, church as believers are promised, first of all, salvation from wrath. Okay, so you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. It says, for they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. All right. Then in Romans 5, 9, we have much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and then we have Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So these are the promises that God has for us as Christians, that we will be saved from this wrath. Okay, and you look at it further, this wrath actually referred to the context of the Great Tribulation. Okay. So, this is something that tells us about the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is called the Day of God's Wrath. And when we think about Great Tribulation and also the persecution of the believers in the past, you know, the Anabaptists and way before that, then there is the matter of the Dark Ages and all those. how all these believers, and even for just after the apostle time. This is different from the Great Tribulation because all these are the wrath of men. All right, it's from men, it's not from God. Whereas the Great Tribulation is from God. Okay, it is a period that is pertaining to God's wrath on the people of during the Great Tribulation, whereby we have the rise of the Antichrist, the union of all the confederacy and all those, you know, and then how Israel will be in the center of all the happening. Everything will revolve around Israel and restoring the temple and the worship and all those, and how they got will be deceived by the Antichrist, and how the Antichrist will betray them, and then the covenant will be broken and all that. That will happen, and it's all, you'll find all this in the book of Revelation. And from chapter 3 all the way right up to chapter 8:19 or so, nothing is mentioned about the church, but it's all about the prophecy of the Great Tribulation and what will happen after the prophetic calendar, the rapture, you know, the Great Tribulation, and then all the matter of Satan will be bound at the bottom pit, the millennium, and then after that, how he will be released for a short while, and then there will be the last revolt, and then he'll be, before that, the beast and the Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and then after that, last revolt, there will be. So there's the prophetic calendar and all those, which we will see after when we are with Christ, all right? And then, of course, end up with the new heaven and the new Jerusalem, and then from eternity to eternity, we will just continue from there. So that is the kind of prophecy that we are looking at, but we want to focus on the rapture. Why do we believe that the rapture will happen before the Great Tribulation? Because many of the promises and the teaching in the Bible points toward this pre-tribulational rapture. Okay? So we find that this Great Tribulation is actually pertaining to God's wrath, a judgment on all these people. Right? And some feel that the church will not be saved out of the time of wrath, but will save through it. It cannot be true because the Bible clearly reveals that those who are on earth during the Great Tribulation will not be delivered from the wrath, but will what? Or be overcome. All right? Look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Okay? The Bible promised church age believer delivered from the wrath must refer to salvation also from the very presence of the wrath. Okay? So, when you look at it, when God promised us all this deliverance from the wrath, it makes no sense to think of us having to go through the tribulation, because then the promise is not fulfilled for the believers. So this is one aspect where it tells us that there are many verses. For example, in Luke chapter 21, verse 35, says here, "For as a snare shall it come unto all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." Alright, and here we are told that as a snare shall it come to all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So the church age believer must either be physically removed from the earth, or they will be involved in the day of the wrath. There's no two way about it. All right. In order to this matter of not facing the wrath of God. Revelation 3:10, as we read, "Because thou hast kept the word early on, I also promised will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them and dwell upon the earth." All these verses says that, or rather, this verse does not say that God will keep the church age saint through the temptation, but from it. You see, the hour of temptation is referring to the Great Tribulation. All right, referring in the context of the Jews. And those will be deceived during the Great Tribulation. And here it doesn't say that we will go through it, but rather the temptation, but from it. All right. So the first thing we need to look at is that the evidence that shows us that church age believers are promised salvation from wrath. And then the next thing is the Holy Spirit will be removed before the tribulation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, which is rather long. But here we have the Holy Spirit. It's really, really, really long. The scripture there mentioned that in the tribulation, the Holy Spirit will withdraw. And then, but the Holy Spirit, because He is God, He's still omnipresent. He is still around. It's just that the way He worked is will not be the way He worked in this dispensation, the church age, the age of grace. All right, there's the restraining, there's the teaching, and all those kind of things. And it is for all who believe. Whereas in the Great Tribulation, the Holy Spirit will still work, but is not in the same capacity as what He is doing now. You find in this passage like Genesis chapter 3, 6 verse 3, the Holy Spirit is a restrainer of sin. Alright? And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet this day shall he be 120. So, we find that here the Holy Spirit is on earth, even during the Old Testament time. In the New Testament, in Old Testament 59, verse 19, the Bible tells us, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them." There is a restraint. Of course, we know that when the Holy Spirit came, it also restrained us from sin. You know, sometimes in the course of my sharing, I always tell them, before I got saved, I have no problem, you know, doing this, doing that. And the fear that I only have is to be caught. I stole, I just fear of being caught. Once I don't get caught, you know, it doesn't bother me anymore. And of course, given the second time, the temptation, I will still steal and still do whatever. But once I got saved, even just a little lie or little throwing of some minor thing which no big deal to some, still it bothers me, you know, it affects me. See, there is the Holy Spirit restraining and working in us. But this will be, taken away. There won't be the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit came into the world at Pentecost to empower the church and also for the Great Commission. He will remove the church age believer before the time of God's great wrath. So this does not mean, like I mentioned earlier, the Spirit will not be around in the world at that time, because He is God and He is omnipresent. It only means that He will not be present in the same sense that He is in this church age, the age of grace. So the Holy Spirit will be not removed, but He will absent Himself. Okay? Or rather, in this case, it will be removed. Okay? The next evidence is that rapture is said to be imminent, meaning it could happen anytime. Alright? A lot of our Lord Jesus Christ taught this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come." Alright? And then in verse 24:44, okay, we also have this, Lord Jesus mentioning this. Not in your note, Matthew 24:44. Let me just read it to you. "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." So there is a I wouldn't say warning, but mention of the Lord Jesus coming anytime when we least unexpected it. Okay? It's imminent, it could happen anytime. Then there is this Mark 13:33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Paul also taught it in Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. There is a sense of expecting it to come any time. Titus 2:12-3. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we should have that kind of expectancy. James also taught it in James 5:8-9. Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not against another. Brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the Lord. And also we find that Paul instructed the believer in Thessalonica that they did not need to heed signs and time, because the New Testament believer has been promised redemption from the day of darkness and shall overcome the whole world. The church is not waiting for the appearing of the Antichrist, but for the redemption of the Son of God. If you look at Paul, even in the book of Romans, when he talk about the groaning, the sorrow, and you know the matter of the struggle with the flesh and to do that which is you know, though that we are not supposed to do yet we do, those we are supposed to do but yet we don't do, that kind of struggle, and it's that the whole creation is suffering. It's, there's the groaning there, but waiting for the day of redemption to come, that all this will be no more. So, the evidence is that the rapture is said to be imminent, can happen. So, if you say rapture happened during or after, all this expecting us to, what do you call that, look forward for the, and prepare and be ready and have a mindset that we are to, at all times, be ready for the rapture to come. And then looking forward for it. All right. And then there is this also, the church is a mystery that was not revealed in the Old Testament. Ephesians 3:1-11 dealt quite a lot. You know, in all the Old Testament prophecy, you find that the whole of the prophecy that deal with the history of men, you know, the birth of the coming of the Lord Jesus, the first coming and his birth, and then his life and his crucifixion and resurrection, and everything is all prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Micah, and all those. But you will not find any prophecy pertaining to the church. There is a silence, there's a gap there, you know, which is a mystery to the Old Testament. Even during the New Testament, that part is slowly being revealed. And it's still a mystery. And Paul is, through the inspiration of God, is gradually revealing this mystery about the time of the Gentile. Because when God first came, is the focus is on Israel. But when Israel rejected the Messiah, the attention is drawn to the Gentile. God is dealing with the Gentile. That's why we have this God's grace given to us as a Gentile. After the rapture, when God's dealing with the Gentile is over, he's going to shift his focus back to the nation of Israel, and that will be during the Great Tribulation. But what I'm here is saying is that because the church is a mystery that is not revealed in the Old Testament, it is something that... Let me try to get this. Okay, let me just go through a note. This prophet did not see the present church age, which in other age was not made known unto the Son of Man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostle and prophet by the Spirit in Ephesians 3:5. So we find also, just now I mentioned, between the first and the second coming, there's a time gap that was not seen by the Old Testament prophet. And that gap is the church age. Right. The church, the prophet did not see that Israel would be set aside temporarily. Okay? while God called out from the among all nations a special spiritual body of people. And after you have accomplished this purpose, and the fullness of the Gentile is come in, God will restart Israel's prophetic clock and fulfill Old Testament prophecy in relation to his ancient chosen nation. You can read this in Romans 11:25. All right, which says that the blindness is in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile will come in. Also, we find that Daniel 70 week described in Daniel chapter 9 and the great tribulation pertaining to Israel, not to the church age. There's a lot of, if you look at the tribulation and a lot of the prophecy does not mention church. It mentioned in relation to Israel. You will not find that this prophecy contain anything regards to the church during the Great Tribulation. Okay, so the present ministry period will end with the removal of the church age. That means then when the mystery unfolds, the people will begin to see about this matter of the Great Tribulation. And the Lord will then take up his plan for the nation of Israel. So as he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy at the time of Jacob's trouble, the coming of Messiah in glory, the regathering of the remnant, and the establishment of the Messianic kingdom. I hope this part gives you an idea that basically in this matter of the church, it's a mystery, you know. The Great Tribulation deal with a lot about Israel and all those things. So it cannot be that the church will be in the Great Tribulation. Okay? The book of Revelation shows that the church is not on earth during the tribulation. So like I mentioned earlier, after chapter 3, where he mentioned the churches of this, churches of that, after that, no mention whatsoever about the church. There's also in Revelation 11, the ministry of the two witnesses, all right, identify them with national Israel and with Old Testament prophecy of the day of the Lord. There's a lot about these two witnesses. They are minister from Jerusalem, Israel capital. But when you look at it, the church has no such capital, all right? And because her hope is being heavenly, not earthly. Okay, there are some scripture reference. If you look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Then to Colossians 3, 1 to 4. I know it's a little bit tough because it deals with a lot of prophecy, a lot of teaching concerning about the Great Tribulation. What Brother David Cloud here has put, you go to his website under the Encyclopedia, Rapture, there will be the explanation. So I would encourage you to go back and then read and consider it and see it clearer from that writing again. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. The Bible tells us, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated in the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Okay, so here tell us that the Israel, they have this looking for the coming of a Messiah. To them, it's an earthly kind of thing. They will rule from Jerusalem. And then, they will get them back. But for us as Christian, the church age believer, our is not an earthly kind of, it's a heavenly. The moment we got saved, our position is that we are already in Christ, we're already seated up in heaven. It's just not now. But eventually, that's our position. And we will be in that position. You know? So that helps us to encourage us of our assurance of salvation. But anyway, here, basically it's to just to encourage us, to tell us that in the book of Revelation, in 7 and 11, regarding these two witnesses, a lot of them has to deal with Israel, all right, and not the church age believer. For example, we are told to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4, and then our judgment is forever past and is kept in mind, centered in heavenlies, where in position we are seated eternally victorious with Christ. All right, and when we look at Revelation 11:4, which identified the two witnesses with Old Testament prophecy, you cross-reference to Zechariah chapter 4, verses 3, 11, and 14. It will tell us that this one has to do with Israel, not with the church. Okay? Then the two witnesses called down judgment upon the enemy in Revelation chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. But this is not what Jesus tells us as he rebuked his disciple for desiring to do this, and instructed the church age to pray for the well-being of their enemies, not for their destruction. All right, then again, you can find this in Luke chapter 9, verses 54 to 56, and Romans 12, verse 14, and then 17 to 21. Okay? So this, the witness, read through a lot about the witness, and you'll find that it deals about Israel, not the church. And then we have the devil persecuting Israel, not the church, during the tribulation. Read Revelation chapter 12. So there can be no doubt that it talks about the woman in this chapter is national Israel. Alright, in verse 5, it shows the woman bringing forth Christ. It is obviously that Jesus was brought forth by Israel, not by the church. And also the symbol of Revelation in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, where it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." And this passage is referring to the nation Israel, and it's a symbol familiar to the Old Testament typology of Israel. All right, Israel has been referred to as a woman in Isaiah chapter 54, verses 5 to 7. The sun, moon, and star, and the 12 star of this passage refer to Joseph's dream of Israel in Genesis chapter 37, verse 9. Also, in Revelation 12, 2, is an exact quote from Micah chapter 5, verse 3. Again, referencing Israel's delivery of the Messiah. So, this symbol, they are not used for the New Testament churches. They are used in the Old Testament for Israel. All right. So, again, we find here that the rapture of the New Testament saint will occur before Daniel's 17th week, which is the Great Tribulation. For us, as far as the prophetic calendar, the next event that's going to happen is the rapture, followed after by the tribulation, the Great Tribulation. So why is it important to hold on to this position that the rapture will happen before the Great Tribulation? Because the doctrine of the pre-tribulational rapture is not a peripheral one. It's not something that, you know, it's a very important part of God's plan of redemption for us. So it's something that we are not to, like, either way also doesn't matter, and, you know, those kind of thing. No, it's not talking about you can do it or you don't do it, it doesn't matter. But it does matter to God, because that's what God said, it will happen, and it will happen. Okay? And Christ, Paul, James, and Peter early on taught the return of Christ imminent, and is expected at any time. Okay, so because of this, the early Christian lived in expectation of Christ's return. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. For they themselves showed of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. All right? So, this is what the early Christian live in expectation of Christ's return. The doctrine of a pre-tribulational rapture is also a great motivator for purifying the Christian life. Why? Because it encouraged the believers in trials and persecution. All right? Chapter 4, verse 17 to 18 tell us, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with this word. Okay? It motivate us. Sorry, it encourage us in the in trials and persecution. It keeps the church focused on the Great Commission. Because if we believe the rapture is going to come anytime, we better get as many people saved as possible, because we wouldn't want anyone to be left behind, having to go through the great tribulation. So there are quite a lot of scripture verses there that tell us the great commission, urgency. It teaches us that preaching the gospel, winning people to Christ, and establishing churches as the pillar and ground of the truth is the most urgent matter. D.L. Moody has this to say. He said, I look upon this world as a wretched vessel. God has given me a lifeboat and said to me, Moody, save all you can. So that's, I think, why motivate D.L. Moody in his evangelistic outreach and his work, you know, as evangelist. It also motivates us to be busy in the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All right. It also motivates us to live obedient life. We have 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Let's just read these verses. I think it's something that will encourage us. First John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. So here it's talking about the rapture, you know, and how the rapture should encourage us to purify ourselves and to live obedient life. It also motivates us to separate from evil. Titus chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Okay? Here there is the separation of evil. All right? Redeem us from all iniquity. And then it keeps us, believer, on the outlook of heresy and apostasy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but their own lust shall they heed to themselves teachers, having itching ear, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. Also in 1 John 2, 24 to 28, which You can read for yourself. Actually, if you look into, there are a lot more reasons that will substantiate this position of a pre-tribulational rapture. All right? And, you know, when we look at this matter of the rapture and after that, the prophetic calendar of God, where we have Christ's second coming comes in two phases. The first phase is the rapture. But there will be the second phase where He will come with the church, all of us, all from who have been raptured, and down, and He will rule the earth for 1,000 years and set up the millennial kingdom. And then thereafter, of course, we find that there will be the dealing with this matter of the devil, how the devil will be dealt with. Eventually, after the last revolt, he will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And then how the dead in Christ, in Revelation chapter 20, you know, will be resurrected and then will stand before the great white throne and then will be judged. And then they themselves will also be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Then there will be the destruction of the earth and heaven, and then the creation of the new heaven and new Jerusalem. And you know, when you look at the rapture and all that is going to follow, we thank God that we are going to be co-ruler, co-with Christ, you know. Whatever that is, we are there and we will be seeing and side by side with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Until the whole prophetic, all the prophecy regarding God's plan redemption for man is accomplished. And how wonderful it is that we are not going, the one that we are seeing of what, and then with Christ ruling, reigning, and you know, and not being the one that are subjected to all this and having to go through that kind of. I believe during the Great Tribulation, it's far, far worse than what I just described earlier on with regards to the people of, you know, of that country that I mentioned. And I'm, you know, even as I prepare this lesson, I'm praying to God, how would this lesson speak to me and impact me or help me to change, you know? Or what will it do to my faith? That it will, like what Paul would want us to be encouraged, you know, and then that the end result will be to look forward for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that the rapture would cause us to look at life on earth here in relation to the Great Commission and to the matter of what D.L. Moody said, save as many as you can. I pray that God will help us all, to that Lord will just speak to us, and then as a church also, I believe, will help us all to live the way that God wants us to live. Just want to encourage all of us. This is a subject that we cannot cover just within one session. It'd be good for us to take on from here and then do your own study, because it's all available and it's all for you to have the Bible to speak to you concerning what position. So, for that matter, I hope all of us will go and do it. We don't just hear this and hold on to a position which we just not sure. Rather, go and research, study, and the Holy Spirit will convince you so that as far as your belief is concerned, you will not be shaken or moved. Okay? Let's pray, and then after we break off and come back for the morning service. Father, we just look to you, and we know, Lord, that this matter of rapture and position held by different people, and how we ourselves should, like what we mentioned earlier last week concerning about testing mindset, Lord, that how we should just take your word and then compare all this teaching with your word, and that your word will speak to us and confirm that it is the truth. You, Lord. Father, we just pray that our conviction, our faith, Lord, will be grounded only on your word, and the Holy Spirit will be our guide. And I pray, Father, that even this morning concerning the rapture, that it will have the effect, or like Paul have exhort the Thessalonians, that they will be encouraged, that they will look to the blessed hope, and that they will be patient, and they will go around and strengthening one another and exhorting one another to share the gospel and to let more people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that when the rapture do come, that many more will be caught up and be saved. So, Father, we just ask that you bless us even as we dismiss this short time for fellowship, and bring us back and prepare our hearts for worship again. In Jesus' name we pray.